Isaiah chapter number 1. Isaiah chapter number 1. Now, as I start this message, let me make sure that you clearly understand there is no sin that anyone can commit that the blood of Jesus Christ cannot cover. No sin. Even the detestable ones that we don't like, nevertheless, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses from all sin. There are certain sins, if you continue in those things, they take over your mental processes. God eventually then turns you over to what He calls in Romans 1 a reprobate mind. Your conscience then gets seared, and then you begin to act on those thoughts, and those thoughts can become extremely dangerous because they become who you are. What happens is, the Bible says, because they did not want to retain God in their knowledge. In other words, they shoved Him out and kept shoving Him out until their new thoughts took place and took over. And once they took place, they were turned over, and then you get what turns into a homosexual lifestyle. Right. Preacher, you probably shouldn't say that. Well, they say it in the Supreme Court. And they say it everywhere else in the world to try to make you believe that everybody else in the world is doing something that less than 5% of the population is actually doing. This whole thing is set up for one reason and one reason only, and that is to remove God's hand of protection from the United States of America. Worse than downsizing your military, worse than doing all they can to demoralize the veterans of this country to make sure they don't get called to arms to try to defend things, worse than an atomic bomb or a dirty bomb hitting some nation or some city, worse than a hurricane or a tornado or some great earthquake. What just happened is they now put the Lord in a position that the devil can say, how can you defend a nation that allows same-sex marriage in 50 states? Chosen by the number of 5 Supreme Court justices. 5 in your Bibles, a number for death, judgment, and destruction. What you just did was, or what allowed to happen was, is now when a nation moves against this nation, God sits back and has to say, well, the same way it was with Israel, so shall it be with the United States, because they are now endorsing something that I strictly forbid in your Bible. Amen. Modern Christianity does not preach against it because nowadays so many people are involved in it. Many people nowadays are endorsing it for one reason. Fornication and adultery is rampant in our churches. People are shacking up together. They're living together. They're fornicating without thinking. The average number of men that women have been with before they're married at 25 years of age is 10. The average number, 10 men before they're married. I guess they're trying to take it for a run around the block. There's more to marriage than just a physical relationship. But He says, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. Men will be marrying and giving in marriage. That has nothing to do with a ceremony. That has to do with all this swapping around. But because of that lewdness and lasciviousness and looseness in lifestyles, where even now older people from the older generation should know better and think nothing of it, now they are doing it, and what they have done in moderation has now been done to excess. Now you live in a very perverse nation. Isn't it a blessing? We have taken our place with the rest of the perverted nations in the world. Even Islam forbids the practice of homosexuality. A Muslim has more sense than a Christian than to endorse such a practice. As a matter of fact, their judgment on it seems to be barbaric. That whole thing has been orchestrated. Each piece has been put into place so that when the time was right and the leader of a so-called free nation stood in a pulpit saying a eulogy for a fallen preacher talking about grace, the Supreme Court of the United States announced same-sex marriage in 50 states, and anesthetized Christians who were listening to Amazing Grace being sung, and just like Nero was laughing and fiddling when Rome burned, Christians went to sleep and said, well, it's really not that big of a deal. And it is a big deal. Whether it applies in our nation or not, it should not enter our churches and should not enter our families. There is an exclusivity of churches that when you come here, we're here in church to worship God. I'm aware you're standing. Give me a second. You're going to be seated for a while. In the Old Testament, when there were two individuals who were at the door of the temple, not to be too graphic, but in front of everybody, this man took this woman and instead of allowing worship, right there in the midst of the worship place was a man and a woman committing a physical act together in front of everybody for all to see. And people simply stood aghast and did nothing until Phineas stepped up and took a spear, and the Bible is very descriptive and said that he ran the spear through the back of the man and the belly of the woman. You can finish the picture. But the Bible doesn't paint a pretty picture of what happened, and until that happened, God did not return to His place of rightful worship. And your nation is now in that situation, that if there is a nation that moves against this nation now, God will stand by silent, I believe. No army would protect you, no amount of bombs or buttons would protect you. You have done the absolute worst thing you can do to the defenses of this nation by embracing a homosexual lifestyle. Preacher, you're scaring me. You should be scared. But you should think, well, if that happens, God's righteousness should be exalted. And if we become a part of the collateral damage, so be it, if God's righteousness is exalted. Righteousness exalts a nation. But sin is a reproach to any people. Isaiah chapter number 1, we'll just look at a couple of things here very quickly and then move on. Notice the Bible says the vision of Isaiah the son of Amos when he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah. Hear, O heavens, give ear, O earth, for the Lord hath spoken, I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. The ox knoweth his owner, the ass his master's crib, but Israel doth not know. My people doth not consider. Ah, sinful nation. A people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors. They have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger. They are gone away backward. Why should ye be stricken anymore? You will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick. The whole heart faint. From the sole of the foot even unto the head, there is no soundness in it but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. Your country is desolate. Your cities are burned with fire. Your land, strangers devour it in your presence. And it is desolate as overthrown by strangers. Verse number 9. Except the Lord of hosts had left unto us a very small remnant, we should have been as Sodom, and we should have been like unto Gomorrah. Hear the word of the Lord, ye rulers of Sodom. Give ear unto the law of your God, ye people of Gomorrah. What purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me, saith the Lord? I am full of burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed beasts. Delight not in the blood of bullocks and lambs or of goats. Father, we'd ask as we do our best to undertake a serious subject, the demise of our nation right before our eyes. So many, God, have looked at how this nation would be dismembered. We had no concept it would be justification of raining down fire upon us because we've embraced as a nation a lifestyle that is abominous to You. God, give us preaching power this morning. Pray, God, that You might keep our mind clear, our heart clean, protect the thoughts so the words come out in the proper way and order. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. I read very quickly just a few comments, and they're, to me, nauseatingly painful to see the stupidity of people who are trying their best to garner votes from a homosexual community. Nowadays, it's a very common thing that girls and guys that enter into the bonds of holy, I say lightly, matrimony, that either of them, if not both of them, have had same-sex relationships, bisexual relationships before coming together. It's such a perverted lifestyle that now it plays regularly in televisions and movies, and people think nothing of it because it plays so regularly, they're anesthetized to the danger of it. They don't understand that there are certain things that really grab God's attention in the Bible. Comparisons are made throughout the Bible, and He even says this in the passage. He says, an ox knows his owner. An ox was considered to be dumb and stupid, and an ass knows who it is that takes care of him. An ass was considered to be dumb and silly and stupid and not know anything. And He said, but the people don't know as much as a donkey and an ox. I read these just quick quotes about statements that people made, and one of them was made by one of the presidential candidates. I quote, love triumphed in the highest court today. That was said by Mrs. Clinton. Love triumphed. In other words, we love so much we condone anything. If they had justified murder, would there not be an uprising? If they had justified what's coming in the near future, pedophilia, would there not be an uprising? But because they did that, it's seen as an act of love. And I'm telling you, biblically, it is an act of judgment. And now God is free to sit back as we're overtaken and anesthetized and put to sleep, as the Bible says. And then God stands by as the demons of hell itself begin to pour out over this nation and have their way with this country. Because five Supreme Court justices chose a popular vote and imposed the will of a minority on that of a majority. I want to just show you a few things about this, and I realize I am quite outspoken about it, and I'm very much aware of the danger of speaking out. But when it comes to this kind of thing, ladies and gentlemen, look at Isaiah chapter number 3. When it comes to this thing, ladies and gentlemen, you have to take God's side. Amen. You cannot ride the fence. This message is not hate speech toward those that have a homosexual lifestyle. I'm going to preach to Christians today. They're not here. If you're here and you're homosexual, you are going to be uncomfortable, as well you should be, in a church. Our church doesn't want you to be comfortable. If you're here today at sometimes, I should say, and you're one of those individuals who likes to drink, when I preach on drinking, you get uncomfortable. If you have a problem with gossip or anger or lust or lasciviousness, at times when I preach on that, you're uncomfortable. So you're not being singled out. We do it across the board for everybody. But when you come here, it is a meeting with God. What does God say about what I'm doing? I don't care what the world says. And just because the Supreme Court of the United States says it's okay, they do not trump God, and they do not trump the Bible. Oh, preacher, you just sound like a redneck. You can call me ignorant, stupid, or whatever you want, but God says it is an abomination, and I'm telling you it is still an abomination. Five justices do not override God's holy word. not have it jammed down my throat. Just with the threat of, as I was told this morning, the removal of our tax status. Preacher, what will happen if we no longer get credit for our donation at the end of the year? Well, we keep going. I'm not giving for a contribution deduction at the end of the year anyway. I'm giving to say, hey, Lord, I appreciate what You've done for me. I don't find anywhere in the Bible, Old or New Testament, where anybody got some sort of an IRS credit for their contribution. They gave because they loved God. I don't tell you to give because it's a good investment for your tax statement. That's just foolishness. You can't preach that anywhere else in any other country. We're not such money grubbers that we're going to say, oh, well, if we're going to lose our tax status, then we're not going to do it. You can have your tax status. Well, preacher, I'll give my money somewhere else. Okay, God has always found a way to take care of us. If you see fit to have that gun held to our head, I just want you to know what our answers will be. There I will pull pastoral privilege, though I know the trustees would be in agreement to say, I don't care how you vote, we going in this direction. We'll vote you out. Okay, that's fine, but long as I'm here. We'll not be threatened or have held over our head whether or not we get something from the tax. Hey, for most of us, it ain't enough to make a big difference anyway. Isaiah chapter number 3, verse number 9-8, making a comparison between the nation of Israel and the United States. How do you get that? Have you ever looked at the word Jerusalem? Look at the center three letters in the word Jerusalem. Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. You take out the J-U-R, then you have a USA and the L-E-U-E-M right there on the end. The United States is right in the middle. You're just like them. Notice what he says in verse number 8. Jerusalem is ruined. Judah is fallen because their tongue and their doings, why? Are against the Lord to provoke the eyes of His glory. The show of their countenance doth witness against them, and they declare their sin as Sodom. They hide it not. They're proud of the fact that they came out of the closet, announced it publicly, try to force people into marrying them, to try to make a political statement. He says, woe unto their soul, for they have rewarded evil unto themselves. God says they have pronounced judgment upon themselves. Look at Jeremiah, if you would please, and just a few of these passages, and then try my best to just sort of wrap it up for you to give you what our position is, what my position is, but more importantly, what the Bible's position is over what just occurred. Worse than any nuclear attack, if you were not here for Sunday school. Worse than any atomic bomb or some sort of dirty bomb. Worse than any Muslim coming over here and bombing our towers or flying planes into them. Worse than an economic crisis. Worse than an earthquake. Worse than a tsunami. Worse than a tornado. Worse than a hurricane is when you take God's protective hand off of a nation. That nation is doomed. You cannot ask God in a righteous way to bless a nation whose leaders have now said, we think it's okay to embrace the homosexual lifestyle, and you can't sing God Bless America in good conscience. You know what you have to say? God, I'm glad I'm saved. Keep me strong in the faith to do that which is right for me, my family, my church, until You come get us. And give me the courage, should that time come, to stand for what's right. Those days are upon us. The threat that everybody used to talk about in the late 1600s, 1700s, where they persecuted preachers. Those days are coming where they persecuted Christians because of their belief in the Bible and their belief that baptism didn't save them. And they're uprising against the Roman Catholic Church. That is your roots. Well, preacher, you know, I just think you should sort of, kind of tone that down. Hey, there was gallons and gallons, hundreds of thousands of gallons of blood spilled so that you could be separated from a Roman enslaved church. If I'm standing here and reading the Bible correctly, there's a resurgence of that. A control of the populace by the church, not by God, not by the Bible, but by the church in Revelation 17 and 18. And we are diametrically opposed to that. We believe in the priesthood of the believers. We all have independent access to the throne of God. I don't have to have a mediator. I got Jesus. I don't have to have a priest to confess my sins. I got Jesus. I don't have to have forgiveness by a priest. I got the blood of Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, listen, you need to realize historically there have been lines drawn in the sand at correct times that are needful times. And this is one of those times. This is a time where you are going to be asked, what do you believe? What does your church believe? What does your preacher preach? And the test comes not when we're here in mass, but when they have you alone. Or often at the dinner table, the family gathering, when that one is there. Preacher, what do? Love you. God loved you enough to send His Son Jesus. But it's still wrong. Well, I just think, okay, pass the biscuits. But God help you. If you do like the leaders of the nation of Israel and said, well, you know, it doesn't really affect me. Let me just hit the pause button right there for just a second. Don't tell me it doesn't affect you. They just made a decision for every state in the Union for that to take place. After it runs just a little while, these little ones that are in here that we're trying to raise up to wind up taking over this church after we're gone, their mentality will be entirely changed given one generation of teaching that it's okay. You just open the floodgates to teach it in school. You just open the floodgates to teach it in the pulpit. You just open the floodgates to have it taught in all of the intermediary programs that they have to try to help people with to make it an accepted lifestyle. You just opened up the pig pen of the world to now produce it on television, produce it on the internet, and you will be the one ostracized for not going with the program, for not going with the flow. You'll be the one that will be considered to be hate speech. It will not be the Muslims. You will be the threat to America. You're the bad guy. I'm the bad guy. Some of you now, you're afraid to get up because you're like, well, I don't want them to think I disagree, but I ain't going to be a part of this. Police will be here soon. We got a bunch of them here. Before they hook me up, they're going to have to do something with them. I know where they stand. But that time is upon us. The days of sleeping Christianity, the days of saying, well, que sera, sera, just sort of let it go. Everything's going to be fine. They have now threatened and joined in saying, God, we don't care what you think. And I'm here to say, I personally care more about what God thinks than what Washington thinks or the Supreme Court. Demon-possessed though they may be, call themselves Christian. But they're no different than what is in our churches today. Who call themselves Christian, let refuse to draw a line and say, that's just not right. For fear of the reprisals of family and friends. Preacher, that's just a little too combative for me. I'm just a little too concerned about that. This nation will not repent. This nation will not turn back to God. this message is not for the United States or every person of a homosexual origin. I have to change that now because it makes it sound like they started that way. They did not start that way. They're still trying to rewrite the Bible. Nobody in the Bible is born that way. I don't care what science tells you. I don't care what a guilty conscience tells you. They're not born that way any more than a pedophile is born that way or any more than a murderer is born that way. You have the opportunity to do right by God, but if you resist, you can become anything. Just because you are don't mean you can overthrow it. And just because, did you not see the setup? Did you not know already on the horizon with what happened with one of your gold-winning, gold-star athletes that was out there on every Wheaties box back years ago and was all over the TV and became one of America's loves and oh, what a great guy and he picked up a blended family oh, and they fell in love and stuff and then all of a sudden it becomes a woman and everybody embraces it like, oh, well, what's the big deal? He couldn't help it. Did you not see that was the first volley to prepare you for where they're going now? The whole thing was a setup. It was orchestrated to get you ready for what they did and then release it on the weekend. Cover it up with some bad guys that escaped and cover it up with some three attacks and other nations in a terror threat. Do you not see they are trying their best to keep you blinded, to keep you quiet until the rigmarole dies down? God help the preacher that preaches on it because his congregation will generally not stand for it. I think you need to calm down, preacher. You might get arrested. You might get put in jail. Preacher, if we're known to go to that church, it's going to affect our reputation, our popularity. I'm telling you, I believe this is a definitive moment in Christianity. I believe this is an opportunity to stand for Jesus Christ and the cross. I believe it is an opportunity to call them as a nation to repent, ask them to beg God for salvation and get saved before they go to hell. And if not, then God's judgment is upon us. The rain falls on the just and the unjust. Look, if you will, please, in Jeremiah chapter 50, verse number 39, 38. A drought is upon her waters, and they shall be dried up. For it is a land of graven images. They're mad upon their idols, like American idols. They're mad. They're crazy with it. Interesting drought upon her waters, a land of graven images, moving images. Therefore the wild beasts of the desert, the wild beasts of the islands shall dwell there. The isles shall dwell therein. It shall be no more inhabited forever. Neither shall it be dwelt in from generation to generation. As God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah, the neighbor cities thereof, saith the Lord, so shall no man abide there, neither shall any son of man dwell therein. You say, why? Because they embrace their idols. You have a state in this union that is known for processing, putting forth the images that you worship. The images that you can't miss and can't do without. A place that has now produced it so that it is now known worldwide. And it has produced the mindset that that lifestyle is okay. Just because your Supreme Court says, and Hollywood amens, doesn't change what the Bible says. Preacher, we would like for you to be like Mr. Osteen, who publicly has said that many a Muslim reads his material and likes it. I don't think a Muslim would be interested in my material. Because I believe their prophet is a farce and their God is a zero. Their God is not our God and their prophet has no power. The only way that they can produce people to follow them is either by threat of murder or promising them illicit sexual favors in an afterlife and promising them power and promising them political favor and promising them all this prosperity in the afterlife. And all we have to draw people is our Savior Jesus Christ, who died for your sins according to the Scripture and was buried and raised again the third day. He'll wash you in the blood of Jesus Christ. He'll cleanse you and give you life eternal, but there's no promise of any virgins. You don't get to indulge your perverted sexual appetites in the afterlife. That's not a holy God. Preacher, you shouldn't talk about their religion. No, you shouldn't, because you might lose your friends. But it's time that God's church and God's people stood up and said, hey, look man, in the interest of what God says, you are in those days. Now! Well, preacher, that's just not how to go about it. They done poked the bear one too many times. Now God, I think, will wake up some preachers and say, warn my people. Don't get swept up in that foolishness. The Bible says in the last days, many shall give heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. He said in the last days, they're going to try to get drawn away. There'll be a falling away. You say, why? People will no longer hear. There's a famine in the land, not for the preaching, but the hearers of the Word of God. As long as the gospel stays compatible and conservative with the rest of the world is fine. But let the gospel of Jesus Christ run contrary to modern theology and modern beliefs and modern popularity. The people run like roaches. Well, preacher, I'm just not sure about this. How can you not be sure? Sodom and Gomorrah in the Bible, without being too graphic, do you know what the name Sodom means? Is there any question in your mind what it is? If there is, get a dictionary. God destroyed the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, Admah, and Zeboam, and the plains thereof. He burnt it to a crisp, to a fairly well. There was brimstone that fell from heaven. Genesis chapter number 19, when the angels show up, that city has become so perverse that in spite of the fact that this man Lot has two virgin, beautiful daughters. The men want the men. God says to the angels, get them out. I'm done. God's put up with a lot of things in this nation. And He's put up with a lot of things with Christians. Mediocre Christians at Beck Milksop at best. Compromising at best in the name of compassion and all that. But God's finally saying, hey, that's it. I am done. Get in or get out. Judgment's coming soon. I say prepare for the judgment seat of Christ. You say, how's it on before the rapture? I don't know, but you could die sooner than the rapture. You're living in a day and time where if you stand for the Lord, you now are encircled by your enemies, as was Israel by Assyria when they moved into Judah. They had taken over Israel. Assyria comes in with this barbaric army and they're moving in and they're surrounding Judah. You're now surrounded by Muslims on one side that hate Christians and by homosexuals in their crowd and by politicians on the other side. You are now the minority! Being a Christian is no longer in vogue. It's no longer popular. At least not the biblical brand of Christianity. The biblical brand of Christianity says God will save anybody, but He won't stand for anything. Ezekiel chapter 16. Look, if you will, please, in verse 46. Could you give me just a little time? I'm only through my introduction. The Bible says this. Verse 46, thine elder sister is Samaria. She and her daughters that dwell at her left hand, and thy younger sister that dwelleth at thy right hand is Sodom and her daughters. That's Admah and Zeboam. And that's Gomorrah. Yet hast thou not walked after their ways, nor done after their abominations. But as if that were a very little thing, thou wast corrupted more than they in all thy ways. As I live, saith the Lord God, Sodom thy sister hath not done, she nor her daughters, as thou hast done, thou and thy daughters. Behold, this was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom, pride, as in gay pride. Homosexuality and proud of it. How could a Christian endorse something that is abominable, not even recognized by God as a legitimate marriage, even if you tried to legitimize it? How can you endorse that and then in the same hand preach against adultery and fornication? It can't be done. Fullness of bread, abundance of idleness was in her and her daughters. Neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and the needy. They were haughty, committed abomination before me. Therefore, I took them away as I saw good. Come down just a little bit further, if you would, please. Verse number 53. When I shall bring again their captivity, the captivity of Sodom and her daughters, and the captivity of Samaria and her daughters, then will I bring again the captivity of thy captives in the midst of them. Thou mayest bear thine own shame, mayest be confounded in all that thou hast done, and thou art a comfort unto them. When thy sisters, Sodom and her daughters, shall return to their former estate, Samaria and her daughters shall return to their former estate, then thou and thy daughters shall return to your former estate, for thy sister Sodom was not mentioned by thy mouth in the day of thy pride. Before thy wickedness was discovered, as at the time thy reproach, the daughters of Syria, and all round about her, and the daughters of Philistine, which despise thee round about. Thou hast borne thy lewdness and thine abominations, saith the Lord. Pretty stout promises, he says, not just about Sodom and Gomorrah, but those individuals who embrace not only that, but that and then some. Let's give Sodom and Gomorrah the benefit of the doubt for just a moment. And let's just say that for just a moment, they didn't know what we know. We always tout ourselves as being the most educated, the smartest, the most comprehensive, best guided society to understand all things that other generations didn't understand. So by our own admission, we should know more about what God says than anybody else. So if that's the case, we don't enter ignorantly into what it is that's being allowed to take place. We enter knowingly into what it is that's being allowed to take place. And God's going to do some horrible things, I'm afraid to say. As you're going over to the book of Jude, I want you to stop in Timothy for just a moment. I am planning, Lord willing, though I'm running out of things here, I am planning to go back to Isaiah. You say you're going to give us the good side to this. There is not a good side to this. Well, preacher, you're just giving us all judgment. That's all it is. There is nothing but judgment to be said for those that are contrary to God's will. We can play tiddlywinks with lying and cheating and stealing and some of that stuff, but you just allowed the devil direct access to your nation. Should I say to the heart of your nation? And when I say you, I mean the people up there. I know you didn't. But the temptation is to go with the flow. Oh, so preacher, we're going to have an argument against the government. No. We're going to build a bastion here of security and faith, and we're going to preach the Lord and His return until He comes back and not get involved in all the political ramifications unless the political ramifications cross our doorstep. And when they do, something has to be said. God willing, and you pray, and I'll not cease to give you the warning to tell you that it will not be long before they will enter in like Trojans come in through the horse at Troy and slide in and sit among you for a while until they kind of garner your, well, I'm your friend and I'm your pal and I just can't help myself and I just, you know, everybody has problems and you share with them a problem and then they share with you a problem and then they share that and then you're already on the hook. And then when the preacher preaches on it, they're mad and there goes 10 or 15 people out of the church because it's, preacher, that's just crazy stuff. You will be able to go home this afternoon and run your rat around until you hit the Google thing and you will find today preachers that are preaching for the unification of churches to get behind the people that, quote, need help. And let's help them. Let's take a stand and let them know what they're walking into. Let them know before you're ready to stretch out the olive branch. We want you to know that what you're doing is an abomination to God and you need to repent of your sin or there's no sense in us talking. I'm not here to justify what you're doing or to try to figure out why you're doing it. Stop your actions first and then we'll talk. I'm not here to help you continue in your foolishness and your filth while I'm getting you better. No, stop and then we'll talk. So what is that? That's old school.
Yes, sir.
Quit your foolishness. Quit your meanness. You're out there in the hog pen of the world. Don't make the church feel bad because we're not warm and exciting. Why don't you quit your foolishness and come back to the Father's house? Then we'll take care of you. It's not our job to come out of the pig pen to pick you up. Some of you people have people in your family and stuff and you feel they manipulate you and you feel guilty all the time because you're out there wandering around and slopping around and in your own wickedness. And it's all the Christians' fault. No, it's not. They didn't force you to drink. They didn't force you to smoke. They didn't force you to shoot drugs up or to snort drugs up. They didn't force you to get out there and look at stuff you have no business looking at. They didn't force you to get into that perversion. There's no way they forced you into it. And God didn't force you into it either. I just couldn't help myself. Then God's a liar. 2 Timothy chapter number 3. Verse number 1. This know also in the last days perilous times shall come. Men are lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. There it is. Without natural affection. Preacher, what does that mean? I'm glad that you asked. Look in Romans chapter number 1. I want to give you enough Bibles that you might throw up when you get home. Say, don't be so smart. Don't be so unrepentant. This is one of those kind of things that I'm firmly standing on the Bible and this is not one of those times where I'm interested in your feelings. I'm interested in facts. I'm interested in you understanding the seriousness about what you're doing. Hey! The bridge is out! You need to stop the car and turn around! You are gonna go off the bridge! Well, you're not gonna scare me! Then drive off the bridge, stupid! I'm telling you, this is the most dangerous thing this nation has ever embraced beyond prohibition, beyond dope in Colorado and other places, beyond people coming across the border or fighting any war. This is the most dangerous thing this nation has ever done. Because it turns the God that has protected us for over 200 years against us. He made an enemy out of our greatest ally. God will not stand with you out of loyalty if you're wrong. He's not that kind of God. He's loyal. But you got to do your part. You'll not make Him the bad person. He will step back and never apologize to you. Amen. Romans 1, verse number 19. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. For God hath showed it unto them. The invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so they are... Excuse me, I didn't hear you. What about the heathen and them that don't know? They are what? So if they find themselves in hell, you ain't going to blame God for it. God said, I will get the message to them. Don't tell me that those of an alternate lifestyle, homosexual proclivities, don't tell me, well, they just don't know. The Bible says they are without excuse. As well as every gossiper, every backbiter, and every liar. Because when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful. Became vain in their imaginations. Focus on them. Next to suicide, there is nothing more selfish than a homosexual lifestyle. It demands its presence be made reconciled and recognized by everybody. It makes everybody get out of its way. It is all about that individual. That is a perverted love. Real love is interested in the other. Perversion is about me. The Bible says they're vain. The foolish heart was darkened, professing themselves to be wise, they became as fool. Changed the glory of an incorruptible God into an image like a corruptible man. Saw a picture the other day of Jesus on the throne, masked behind a rainbow. Your White House was recently put out by the major news media as now flooded in a rainbow. What a sickening abomination. To parade that stuff and that filth and that disgust in the front of little children, that's X-rated material. Daddy, what are they talking about? Oh, queer. What's that? Well, that's, that ain't no birds and bees conversation. That's perversion. God also gave them up to uncleanness. Through the lust of their own hearts. No man can say when he is tempted, he is tempted of God. He is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust. You struggle with temptation, you are the problem. Whether nobody ever tells you that or not, or tries to duck and dodge and say it's some kind of an amoeba that crawled into your bed at birth and went up your nose and around in your ears and made you be something you didn't intend to be, or you got something through a vaccine, or you got something through some tainted milk, God would protect you from that so you wouldn't be a pervert. If you're a pervert, you're a pervert because you're drawn away of your own lust. You can even be a pervert and like the opposite sex. The wrong way. Who'd have ever thought this filth had to come out of God's pulpit? God gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Tell me the Bible ain't relevant. Who changed the truth of God into a lie. That's what they did about creation, replacing it with evolution. You can surely justify the behaviors of people today if you believe in an evolutionistic society. But if you believe in creation, you know God didn't make them like that. And worship and serve the creature, themselves, more than the Creator. Verse 26, for this cause God gave them up unto what he calls vile affections. He's going to describe it for you. Even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. Could I pause for just a second? The woman in the Bible is considered of all things to be the most pure, the most holy, the most clean of the vessels. You generally see men in the Bible messing up, not women. But here he says, hey, even their women. As if to say, it's so pervasive now, so permissive now. It has now taken over where now even their women have had their mind tripped, they're messed up, they're changed, and now they're not even doing what they were born to do. God gave them up to vile affections. Even their women did change the natural use of that which is against nature. Likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman. Burned in their lust one toward another. Could I just say Sodom and Gomorrah? Men with men working that which is unseemly in a holy Bible. God says it's unseemly behavior. God says it's wicked. It's an abomination. He says it's out of hell itself. It's ungodly. Well, they're just kissing. Gag a maggot. It's not natural. They burn in their lust one toward another. Men with men working that which is unseemly, receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meet. What's the problem, preacher? And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. And then he makes a list on top of the others. But he singles the others out as if they are more abhorrent and abominable than the rest of the things. In a nation that embraces the top two things, women with women and men with men, will then embrace everything else in the rest of the passage. It's a literal fulfillment of 2 Timothy chapter number 3. Could you please give me just another moment or two and look, if you will, into the book of Jude. I appreciate your prayers. I'm concerned. I'm getting old. If the Lord tarries, these guys coming up, they need your prayers. You say, why? There's the battlefield. They got to get Christians strong enough to be able to withstand the attacks that are coming. Can I please say this to you? We need to put aside the differences with one another unless they're doctrinal in nature. And we need to unify ourselves spiritually because strength is in unity. And figure out what's really worth fighting for. And some of the stuff we're in disagreement with is foolishness. Some of it just needs to be put aside altogether and quit letting people pull you back into it. They just keep their balloon up in the air. Tell them, kiss my foot in the name of Jesus. Leave me cotton picking alone. I'm tired of it. I don't want to keep swimming in the cesspool. Well, I know things about thank God for the blood. Shut up! Leave me alone! Verse 6. The angels, which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, He hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness and the judgment of the great day. When He used likes and as in the Bible, He's making a comparison. We understand that, right? Even as, well, look who shows up in the book right before Revelation. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, that's what he calls men with men and women with women. And men and women with children. He calls that strange, odd, unusual, freaky, abominable, wrong. are set forth an example, suffering the visions of vengeance of eternal fire. Could we get that again? Would you agree with me if I'm in the Bible that He said, what I did to Sodom and Gomorrah, I'm setting it forth because of their actions, of what they did. I'm giving you an example of eternal judgment, not only of hell to come, lake of fire after the great white throne, but what I did to them, I will do to you. Am I in the Bible? Now back to the book of Isaiah and let's preach the sermon. That's the introduction. Judah's on the verge of expiring. They're a sinful nation. They're what we call backslid. Verse number 5 is the epitome of stupidity. They tell me the definition of insanity is to keep doing the same thing and expect a different result. And that's what we have continued to do. Here, he says, why should you be stricken anymore? In other words, you have been beaten to within an inch of your life and gotten to the point now where beatings do you no more good. It doesn't help anymore. You're numb to the beating. Watch. Your head's sick. Your heart's faint. All the way down the sole of your foot, even to the head, no soundness. Now your wounds have become putrefying sores. Your nation is now full of disease. You can now get AIDS without having to be queer. You can get it from a needle. You can get all kind of different STDs now spread through the sexual promiscuity that runs rampant in this country. Because that's not as bad as being a homosexual, so let's do that, just not that. Now the judgment of that illicit action is beginning to take its toll, as it did in Judah, as it did in Israel. And so it is beginning to take its toll here in the United States of America. Monetarily, physically. I don't know if you've ever had to watch somebody die in that way. It's horrible. Covered with sores and wounds and putrefying sores. And at times when you see somebody who's been hopped up on drugs for a long time and they get skin poppers and they get places where the chemicals that are mixed in with all of their different drugs that they're trying to do are beginning to eat away at their flesh and eat away at their fat cells and their muscle cells, and they get holes in there and their teeth begin to rot out and their teeth begin to fall out and their nerves are exposed and they're in a constant state of pain, and then they begin to pass that on to somebody and pass that on to somebody. You say, what happens when a nation turns to this type of sin? Sin begins to literally pick up like a snowball running downhill. And the wages of sin is still death. And quickly, let's look at what happens in verses 11 to 15. No matter what they do, the Lord says, I'm not interested in your sacrifices anymore. They're vain oblations, He calls them in verse number 13. Even when you come for a meeting, in verse 13, it doesn't mean anything anymore. Verse number 15, you spread forth your hands, I hide mine eyes from you. Yea, when you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. In verses 18 to 20, the Lord says this, and here's the hope, here's the good part. In verses 18 to 20, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat of the good of the land. But verse 20 really caps off what needs to be said. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. How is the faithful city become an harlot? It was full of judgment and righteousness lodged in it, but now murderers. And so it is with your country. The demise of your country, and mentioned in that passage, follows the pattern of those that followed after Sodom and Gomorrah. Preacher, what are we supposed to do? Prepare to die. And preacher, tell us about living. Tell us how to live. Tell us. I'm telling you, the best way to live is to be prepared to die. There's a great liberty in being ready to die. Prepare to die. Hey, preacher, that's a pretty solemn thing. You wanted the truth? That's what you need to be ready for. Because in such an hour as you think not, the Lord will come down and say, your turn. Well, preacher, well, what about what? Don't let it affect you. Don't let it affect your family. Don't let it into your church. Beyond that, you can't stop the nation now. They made a choice. Unless they repent, and they're not going to. Oh, now, wait a minute, preacher. You know, the Bible says, if my people that are called by my name, you're not His people, that's Israel. You can 2 Chronicles 7:14 it all you want to. You ain't going to repent. Question, will the devil repent? They have been turned over to a reprobate mind. And now that they've embraced that, He won't let them as a nation. Your nation is burnt toast. You wanted to live in last day's prophecy? Here we are. You wanted to experience what it was like for the martyrs? You may get the privilege of doing that. You're now going to be ostracized. Be careful at work. They will fire you. Wise as serpents. Harmless as doves. Don't be stupid. When it crosses over, the Holy Spirit will say, okay, you got to do something. But until He does, don't let it in your life. Don't let it in your home. Don't let it in your church.
Amen.
Can't stop the nation. She's done. She has rejected God. And now what she did, I'm sure most of you folks from the South know what it is. But you know what a hawker is. The United States just took in a big old deep snort and looked at the face of God and just said, that's what we think of you. We can do this without you. We don't need you. Next move, any reference to God, any scripture anywhere, taken off of everything to do with any court in the land, taken off your money, they'll start moving and it'll go fast. Because now the sky's the limit. They got you. The nation, but not us. Don't be depressed. We're good. Be excited. The Lord's coming.
Amen.
If not, we're going to die and then we'll see Him anyway.